On today's show, Mom Dami makes a shocking campaign stop with an unindicted co-conspirator, the World Trade Center bombing, and so much more.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo, another Monday. We're here. Will Haynes is joining me in studio. What up, fam? We're all together again. 1-800-684-3110. Give me a call to be on the air. Of course, we are covering all the breaking news, all the news, Will, that covered this weekend, which wasn't a whole lot.
It was kind of a quiet weekend for
Yeah, it was quiet. Yeah. It was quiet after President Trump said, no tomahawks. He said, that's what you told me. He said, no tomahawks.
That's right. He didn't give them to our friend Zelensky.
No, no tomahawks to Zelensky. And there was, I think there was a protest or something, but I missed it. I was, you know, busy living a life, spending time with my family and those kind of things. But I'm sure some of you are out there, you know.
You do have to hand it to the left. For the first time, though, they didn't burn down every city in America.
Could you just see the audience? Okay. That audience can't light a match. Okay. There's a lot of. A lot of elderly, I'll just say that. I don't want to be offensive to those listening right now, but boy, I mean, that looked like Branson, Missouri, but, you know, not
everywhere.
The good kind.
Yeah.
Not, but it's like all the people that couldn't, they wouldn't even allow them into Branson.
Right.
It was a rough crowd. Like, I didn't spend much time watching it. I'm sure a lot of you did. I think these protests and these events are fine. There's nothing wrong with them. Go do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. I do love when they interview most people. They have no idea what they're talking about, why they're protesting. Even some of my friends who are out there protesting, if I just give them a little nudge, they don't even know what they're doing. But it's okay. You know, I'd rather you be direct. I'd rather it be a no, we don't like the elected president of the United States, than some vain, like vaguely, like, let's come up with a brand that's associated with it. Like, I find Free Palestine more appealing than no kings, because at least I know what they stand for.
Well, and also if there was indeed a king, I don't think the government would be shut down by the minority party holding the entire government.
But that's not what we're here to talk about today, but maybe you do want to call in on that. Did it interrupt your city? Maybe it did. Give me a call. I'd like to know. 1-800-684-3110. Was the courthouse busy? What happened on the lawns there? 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard. Of course, though, one of the big elections heading in just a couple weeks now is the New York mayoral election, which has got national attention. Q of Zoran Mamdani, who has been making his campaign stops. Again, a very gifted orator. I've said that before. I think it's going to be a very, very unlikely chance that he loses. But I feel like he's trying his best to come up with reasons for people not to vote for him and kind of waving it in their faces. What we're talking about right now is that during a campaign stop, and look, this wasn't like a photo line of 1,000 people who happened to get a picture with someone. Because I've got pictures with people. People take pictures with me all the time. I don't know who they necessarily are. They seem like nice people in the moment, but who knows? Maybe they could be unindicted co-conspirators of terrorism. And that's what he did. He took a picture with one of the unindicted co-conspirators of the World Trade Center bombing in the 90s and then bragged about it online. You know, put it on social media. So again, it wasn't like just a random person. It was like, it was an honor to be with this person, Will.
That's right. This is a very controversial figure for obvious reasons. This is a imam in Brooklyn. The actual conspirators of the people that perpetrated the terror in 93 attended this mosque. This is an imam that has very radical views, believes in Sharia law over democracy, including all of the worst punishments you think of when you think of Sharia law. He has had statements referring to jihad against New York, and then has, you know, would cover that up and be like, I don't mean like an armed jihad against New York. But this is not someone that you would expect.
The
leading candidate for mayor of New York, just, what are we, 24 years after 9/11, would be promoting as a campaign stop where he went to Friday prayers with this imam in a radical Islamic mosque in Brooklyn, but yet here we are.
It's a young group of voters that are coming out in support. This is a group of people who were very little, if not kids, including the man himself, by the way, who was very small, was a kid during 9/11. So we'll talk about that coming up and so much more. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Be right back. Dodge Seculo. We got a few lines still open for you at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Of course, we're talking a little bit of the No Kings rally that happened over the weekend. How did it affect your town? Love to hear from you about that. Or did it affect you at all? I will say where we were. I'm sure there were thousands of people downtown. I was not one of them. Again, living our maybe our suburban life. Not a lot of knowledge of that happening when you're at middle school flag football games. But you know what? I assume a lot of people went down there with their signs and did whatever they want to do. And you know what? God bless them. They can do whatever they want. Again, I just wish the brand was a little bit clearer, a little bit easier to understand. But with that, phone lines are open for you, as I said. Now, we do want to switch our attention back to what we were talking about. And of course, this kind of comes into a bigger rhetoric that's happening throughout the country, including something that happened to Winsome Sears over the weekend as well in Virginia. This is kind of the ongoing political discussion coming from the left. Now, you have a situation where Mamdani, who is, like I said, I think is going to run away with this election. I think there's very little he can do at this point, I think, to lose. You have a group that's very young supporting him. You have, including, by the way, himself, who I think is 33 years old, someone born in the 90s. So he was born in the 90s, was very young during the September 11th attacks. You're talking about a 10-year-old, who I'm not even sure was where he was living at the time. So to say that it doesn't really have the same kind of impact on you, it doesn't. So when you have a Sliwa, or you have on the other side Cuomo talking about sort of this old New York, I don't think Zohran has ever lived in what was old New York. Old New York in the 90s, in the early 2000s, when things got very clean. Yeah, I think if he grew up in the last decade, which really he did, the last decade to 15 years, it's kind of been on the downward trajectory for New York. So maybe they see that this is the only way up. Now, I don't know if the only way up is to be having your afternoon prayers with unindicted co-conspirators of the World Trade Center attacks. Of course, this is the first World Trade Center attack we're talking
about.
That's right,
93.
The 93 bombing. Again,
Mamdani would have been two years old.
And of course, post about this online, beautiful picture of him and these faith leaders. But of course, if you dig a little deeper, there's always going to be a secondary message to what that means. And it's a very different message than, like you said, Will said, a very different New York than it was even 25 years ago. I still think that New York is very important. I think we have a clip that we're going to play a little bit later with Bill Maher, kind of pushing what I've been saying the whole time, which is when you control New York City, you actually control a lot of what's going on in the country and a lot of what's going on in the world. It's one of the biggest hubs for pretty much all industries. Some stuff have changed in the post-COVID world. But let's say in the last 5 years, other than that, when things got crazy, you're talking about what people would call the capital of the world would be New York City. So when you run New York City, though he may be giving campaign promises he can't live up to, it doesn't mean you have no sway on what the future looks like. And when that future is a democratic socialist, and again, I'm not using that pejoratively. I'm using that is the term of which he runs under.
That's right. And then you also see what that plays out as. We've seen how he's been very dodgy on the way that he would address the Palestinian protest when it came to the phrase Intifada now, or bring the Intifada here. He had to try to walk a very narrow line to try and not seem like a radical, but at the same time still appease that base. And it's what he believes. Like, I don't think that at the end of the day, that if you were to be in a room with them, be like, do you believe most of what they are calling for on the Palestinian protests? That's not like saying we're assuming something about him. That would be probably in line with his ideology. We know that that's what his major party, the Democrat Socialist of America, believes. He is obviously running as a Democrat as far as the ticket there. But then you also have to think about this imagery. He's clearly not afraid of this. This isn't something that people are uncovering and hiding. He is okay with these associations. This is an individual who has been called an unindicted co-conspirator of the 93 World Trade Center bombing. He was the vice president of the Islamic Society of North America, which is an American extension of the Muslim Student Association and the Muslim Brotherhood. He was vice president of that. That organization was an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land terror financing case. So his roots to radical Islam, this imam, are not necessarily in the shadows or just speculated about. This is a very radical individual. There are, I would assume, dozens and dozens of more moderate Islamic leaders if he wanted to have a meeting with prayer in New York City just ahead of his election, he could have done that. You feel like this is a choice, or it is a very close association, which is should concern people.
Yeah, I think it'd go either way. I've met a lot of these young politicians, and a lot of times when you get down to it and you actually talk to them in person, you're like, this is a good guy. This person is just saying what they think is going to win them election. Not that that makes them a good guy, but this person is not necessarily the radical that they portray. When you look at who he was 10 years ago, you're talking about someone who was releasing a lot of hip hop music, was going, you know, he's a big pro wrestling fan, he's a big sports guy. Not necessarily who you would think would be in line to be mayor. I'm not even sure how all of that came together. But even then, some of his hip-hop music was a bit radical at the time, but he kind of speaks of a new New York, and that is a bit alarming when we're talking about what the future looks like. I want to play you a clip. This is, again, I like to go to Bill Maher and from the Club Random Podcast, because I always think it's interesting, because we're going to be opposed on a lot of things. But there are many times where I think more recently in the last few years, he certainly lined up with a lot of conservatives more recently. But I do think as a Democrat, he brings an interesting point of view, which is what I've been saying here for the last few weeks. But I think it's always good to hear from the other side of the aisle saying the similar thing. So here's Bill Maher on Club Random.
New York is New York. It's definitely the media capital, the financial capital. It is a bellwether like no other city is in this country. So don't tell me that who the mayor of New York is doesn't matter.
Let me play devil's advocate for a second. Do you think, let's say, on the seize the means of production, do you think that the mayor, that one person, if he is a democratic socialist, do you think that he would have the power and influence to be able to, like, usher in socialism?
He definitely has the power and influence to elect J.D. Vance or whoever is the Republican candidate next time.
And he doubled downs on this. So again, saying, you know what, you may not think he has the power, but he has the power to actually sway what the future could look like, because we all look to New York to see how things are going. When you have someone who is saying they're a Democrat socialist, and then you see a city unraveling, it could obviously have ripple effects around the country. He doubles down on it. Take a listen.
It is a walking commercial for the Republican Party
nationally.
The Democrats, socialists, and now they're actually calling themselves socialists. When you let them take over a major American city, this is what you get. The state-run grocery stores, which work so well in Cuba and the Soviet Union and Venezuela, just bad ideas. And again, this ugly streak.
Well, you look, ugly streak
of anti-Semitism.
Who's the most popular politician on the left?
AOC? I don't know.
One of, but who's, you know, Bernie is not a capitalist, you know?
No, he's not. And he's also not president.
He's not, but never would be. But neither is Mamdani.
No, but he will, trust me, he will be featured in the campaign commercials.
But they're going to feature people. They boogeyman everybody.
Yeah, but you don't have to boogeyman him. He does it to himself.
All right, yeah, it featured in the campaign commercials on either side here, because we know where this could be headed.
That's right. And even that, you don't have to boogeyman him. He does it to himself. Once again, this photo op, this posting, he put it out there as well.
That's what I'm saying. It's asking for it.
This is his ideology. And when we're talking about New York, which has seen a decline in recent decade, I would say, as well as what New York was and the unity around New York after the 9/11 terror attacks, and what America's city became in that 10 years, I'd say, even after 9/11, I think this is shocking to anyone that lived through that. And you mentioned he was 10 years old when 9/11 happened. But just even the fact that we're at this point where the front runner for the mayoral candidate is posting a picture with a divisive character like this imam and proud of it, and will still probably win the election, is what is so shocking, I think, to those of us that lived through 9/11, lived through those years, and even the never forget mantra that America lived by for so long. When you have someone that is that closely tied to those type of events, tied to terrorism in that way, in multiple different ways, it is shocking that this is where we are at this point.
All right. Hey, phone lines are open for you in our next segment. Stay on hold, by the way, if you're on hold. But we do have a few open lines at 1-800-684-3110. We'll try to take some calls coming up here in the next segment. But we will. Oh, we just lost a couple calls. So you know what? It's a good time to call in. These phone lines are wide open now. 1-800-684-3110. Let's keep this conversation going. We're also going to be talking about some of the work of the ACLJ. We got a big, big movement happening coming up next with the pro-life causes. You're not going to want to miss that. CeCe Hyle is going to be joining us. And then later on, we are going to be joined. Are we going to be joined still? Yeah. By Mike Pompeo. Not anyone on my list here.
That's
so
on
I wasn't
me.
Sure. Mike Pompeo will be joining us. We got packed show. So stay tuned. Give us a call. Support the work of the ACLJ. All those things I always say. ACLJ.org. Go there now. Do what you got to do. Be right back. Welcome back to Secular. We do have like two lines open, two or three lines. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Senior counsel here for the ACLJ. CeCe Hyles joining us in studio with an update of our work that we do, obviously, for pro-life pregnancy resource centers that are always under attack. It feels like in some different ways, whether it's from the government, from big tech, or from all sources, as really just a lot of times volunteer-run, often organizations that are just there to help mothers, expected mothers, have other options. And we've said that the whole time. You go there, a lot of times they're there to help you through pregnancy. A lot of times they are there to help you post-pregnancy. They'll have baby formula, or they'll have days where you go and get clothes. They'll celebrate birthday parties, diaper days, all those kind of things that happen. And a lot of times people will try to convince you that the pro-life community and the pro-life cause, it ends after a baby is born. And it's just simply not the case. It's always this lie that I feel like just gets repeated over and over and over again. And it drives me crazy because it's just so not the hearts of the people that I've ever worked with. The heart's the exact opposite. If you're looking for a place to even have your baby and you want the baby to be adopted to a family, a lot of times I'll assist in that. There's so many different ways these pro-life pregnancy resource centers will help out mothers in need. However, it doesn't seem to be the way that the mainstream media or the state-run media often wants it to be featured, and the ACLJ had to get involved once again.
Right. And so this is a situation, if you've been paying attention, you know that the House Committee on the Judiciary, Jim Jordan, who's the chairman, just did a hearing, held a hearing, and uncovered the fact that Google was censoring under the Biden administration, which we all knew was happening.
Right.
But the uncovering of this was censorship of conservative groups. And Google has said, hey, we're going to stop doing that. We're going to put these people back on YouTube. We're going to kind of open this up. But what we did was we sent a letter to Jim Jordan and to the White House Religious Liberty Commission pointing out that don't forget, don't think that this is a resolved issue, because I'm sure the Biden administration was not just coercing and coordinating with big tech on some conservative issues. Don't forget that PRCs, pregnancy resource centers, are always the biggest target. And we point out, because we have clients, we point out how they've been targeted, that the Google ads actually require PRCs to sign a certificate with disclaimers, which they do not do. Google does not require that for any other advertisement except pro-life advertisements. Then it goes on to show that Google Maps actually removed PRCs from default visibility. So unless you're specifically looking for and saying that you want that, it will not pull that up, which cost one of our clients a drop of 60 to 70%. They saw a drop in their visibility and leads because of that. Also, Google provides about $10,000 per month for their nonprofit grant program. That lets nonprofits use basically $10,000 worth of free advertisement. Our client didn't get $10,000 a month. They've gotten less than $50 in over 2 years. So we are seeing there is extreme bias. There is extreme targeting of crisis pregnancy centers, pregnancy resource centers. And we want to draw this again to the attention of the House Committee on the Judiciary to say, please don't forget about the PRCs. This is not done. There needs to be more investigation. You need to continue that because there is something bad going on here. And we have no doubt that it's probably, that happened between the Biden administration and Google.
Well, and Cece, when you know how much money the lobbies for a big abortion are, how much money they can spend, how much time and resources they can spend to lobby these groups and say this is what you need to be doing, as compared to the nonprofit, small, just salt of the earth people that run these PRCs, but they aren't big operations. They don't have a big lobby behind them to go and talk with decision makers or talk with big companies to say, hey, here's what's going on. Here's the truth about what we do. But that's where people like the ACLJ come in. And with the help of those that support the ACLJ, we can do this work to combat what's going on. But when you see what's going on in Massachusetts, where we're in federal court fighting the state trying to silence PRCs, now you have big tech trying to silence it. And this letter is very thorough that we sent to Chairman Jordan as well as to the White House. I mean, it has graphs that show the actual dip in where the leads that were coming in and the cost spiking for these PRCs. So it wasn't just that the leads weren't coming in, but also the cost to acquire those leads, to get in front of eyeballs, to share the work that they do went up. And that's why we have to fight this, and we have to go to not just Congress, but to the White House to uncover this. And we also know that the Judiciary Committee is wanting to speak with our attorneys, wanting to get to the bottom of this. They were receptive to this letter that we sent just last week. But we can't stop just with fighting a state here or going to Congress here. This is a very expansive portion of our work here at the ACLJ, because we know that they don't just go one place and try to shut it down. Those that lobby for the abortion industry are going to go everywhere they can to try and shut down the life-saving work of PRCs.
Absolutely. And the abortion industry's pockets, we know, are very, very, very deep. And we also know that they are willing to spend their money to make sure that they get their way. And if that means that they're working with, like, the Biden administration and putting pressure on big tech to censor PRCs, they will do that. And so that is why it is very important for us to keep representing these PRCs. And like you said, yes, Jim Jordan reached right back out to us and said, yes, thank you. We want to talk to you more about these cases. And that is, again, how we can bring our clients, and they can have a hearing and they can be witnesses, and we have the facts and we can prove that this targeting and censoring is going on. And if there is a federal government tie, hopefully we can put a stop to that.
That's right. And look, the ACLJ is involved in all these cases. We're always involved in pregnancy resource centers. It's something that we spend a lot of time on because, again, we're not the pregnancy resource center. But a lot of times these groups do not have the money. They do not have the budgets to fight these cases, whether that's in court, whether that's civilly, whatever it needs to be. They often do not have that in their budget. I mean, we saw what happened here when you have just a plummeting of people coming in. Of course, you're going to have supporters. A lot of these are nonprofits and are supported by donors, and donors want to see that there are results. Of course, they want to see that they're giving money to something that's making a big impact. And when I ask you to support the work of the ACLJ, it's because that impact is large. And a lot of times it is because we can step up and help these organizations when they are in need. So I ask you to give, and to give whatever you can, whether that's $5, whether it's $50, whatever it is. The ACLJ is built on the backbone of individual donors that give at small levels. We're not built on the backbone of major donors or major sponsors. It's just not how it's worked here. Of course, if you want to be a major donor or sponsor, feel free. We'd be happy to talk to you. But that is not the core ACLJ supporter. It's people that give on an individual level. Often they give, sometimes you'll sign up to be an ACLJ champion. That's someone that gives on a recurring, automatic monthly way, but not always. Most of the people that give at one time, or they give throughout the year as they feel moved, and that's okay. And we ask you right now to think about it and pray about it as we head into the second half hour of the broadcast today. We know we lose a lot of you, so a lot of you don't get us on your local radio station, but you can find us broadcasting. It's the new millennium, Will.
Has been for a minute.
I know. You can find us online now. on the internet. We're there. ACLJ.org, broadcasting live on all your favorite platforms, YouTube, Rumble. We are there 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time each and every day. And of course, archived however you get your podcast. You can find it all in the ACLJ app. And none of that happens again without you. And some phone lines are open right now. So you know what? If you're thinking about calling in, great time to do it. I'll take some calls in the next segment. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Second half hour coming up. Mike Pompeo's going to be joining us in the next segment. Between now and then, I'd love to hear from you. And of course, at the end of the show, I take as many calls as I can. That's at 1-800-684-3110. We were talking about the news of really just continuing the conversation about the New York mayoral election. We got a call coming in about that. Of course, Mondami, who is currently leading and looks like is going to take potentially a landslide a victory here. And of course, that comes with a lot of baggage and a lot of potential for New York to have some troubles. If you're a conservative or if you're just concerned for New York in general, I know a lot of these policies are concerning. And with that, let's go to Rachel in New York, who is watching on YouTube. Rachel, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for your work. I just have not even a question, just a comment. How can people be taken in so much by this guy? I mean, his charisma and all that and everything like that, but I don't get it. I mean, all these people are so duped by it, and all his proposals are just euphoric. Well, fill in the blank with whatever you want, but I just don't get it.
Yeah, Rachel, I understand why what you're saying is, how can so many people feel, like you said, duped by this? And I think here's the problem also, is you have not great options going on in New York right now. So you have one that's a young, charismatic speaker who's saying a lot of things that young people like to hear. And you're saying a lot of things that older liberals like to hear. Like, well, I'm talking about hardcore liberals, that they like to hear that, you know. Then you have who he's running against, which is Curtis Sliwa, who, again, you may like, you may not like, doesn't feel like he'd be a current candidate for mayor of New York. I think he does some good work. I think he's historically done some really good work. But has been kind of a sadly, and I don't mean this in offense, but he's become sort of a cartoon character, a caricature of himself, if you will. And then you have Cuomo, who honestly has kind of become the same thing, which is a guy that comes with an extreme amount of baggage. I like a lot of the policies that he wants to put in place. I like, you know, what I think he could do with some good things with New York, though he is definitely much more liberal than I would vote for personally. I understand why that would be an option for a lot of moderate or conservatives. They go, well, we got to vote for Cuomo here. But Cuomo comes with all the COVID stuff, everything else that happened under his leadership, a not so fun exit from being governor of the state. So you are given really bad choices. You are given the choice of a charismatic young guy who's going to try new things, or two old school guys, one of which is covered in controversy, and one of which just doesn't feel like has the chops to do it at this point.
And well, and there is a new poll that the New York Post is reporting on out of Gotham Polling that shows that if Sliwa were to drop out, then Cuomo is within the margin of error. Now, polls are polls. You can't just take one poll and say this is what's going on. Definitely the energy does not feel like that when you look at the way that it's being covered, as well as the fact that these things don't seem to hurt Mondami, which is very bizarre. Exactly. That it's like he's able to keep doing this. So I don't know if you can take any credit, give this poll any credit, but the fact that, one, it is also a three-person race when it comes to that, with Cuomo running as an independent, that does harm the chances of stopping some sort of win by this charismatic person that is clearly running away with it at this point. When you have that opposition vote broken, given two options to other people, then it does make it a lot harder to overcome that. I don't see Sliwa dropping out. And even if he did, some of the other polling shows that it wouldn't matter anyways, that the hill is too much to overcome for the other candidate. We'll see. It's coming up soon. But things like this are not seeming to damage his prospects at winning, when you'd think, even just 10 years ago, that would kind of be the end. That would have not happened.
Absolutely. Look, we get back, Mike Pompeo's going to be joining us. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about what's going on in Gaza, of course, the sort of the restart and the ending already of a ceasefire and the rebuilding of a ceasefire, what it all means. We've all heard a lot of mixed reports. We're going to talk about that with Secretary Pompeo. And of course, a couple phone lines are still open for you. 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today. We'll be right back with more on Seculo. Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Three lines open right now. If you want to get on hold, great time to do it, because the next segment, I'm going to take all the calls that come in. Again, 1-800-684-3110. We're joined now by Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, Mike Pompeo, who I believe is on. We wish we got him. Yes, got him on there via phone today. Secretary Pompeo, we have the New York mayoral race not only heating up, but felt like it was headed towards pretty one-sided. Some new polls maybe suggest otherwise, but I do think it's going to be an uphill battle for anyone trying to take on Mamdani right now. As even over the weekend, though, it feels like he is doing things that maybe are trying to sabotage, but maybe in a way is appealing to a certain base. He had a campaign stop, as we've said earlier on the show, and featured an unindicted co-conspirator of the 93 World Trade Center attacks. Again, this wasn't like a private meeting. This wasn't even like a photo line. This was something set up and then posted on social media. What does it say about, you know, New York politicians and even American politicians when they're appealing to young people? They're trying to appeal to even maybe an older group, maybe those people that showed up to that No Kings rally, that they're willing to do so under such extreme measures with extreme people, including terrorist sympathizers and those involved.
Yes, this is actually a really bad thing for the American political process and a terrible thing for the city of New York. It's clear that Mamdani believes that he's got this thing once in his pocket. He is willing to go to the fringes of the fringe to make the case and lock in his base, which is where he thinks he'll win this election. I hope there's enough people in New York City who see this and just say, you know, I may agree with some of his economic stuff, but this is a bridge too far. And common sense prevails. He will be a disaster for the city. But to be rallying with someone who was an unindicted co-conspirator from these attacks on the human lives there in New York City is beyond the pale. I'm not surprised that he did it. We've seen him engage in this kind of, I'll call it anti-Semitic pandering. That's the kind of thing I think I can say about it. And so I guess I'm unsurprised. I hope the people in the city of New York, when they go vote, will not do what the polls are showing, but instead the common sense and wisdom can prevail.
Well, and I guess even when you look at the beginning of his campaign, where he did, pander to the Free Palestine, pro-Hamas crowd a lot, obviously, but he still tried to a little bit walk the line where he wouldn't answer the questions when they asked him about, you know, when they chant Intifada now, do you agree with that? Do you know what that means? He still kind of tried to dodge that. The fact that now he's openly, posting photos with fringe characters. I mean, there's a lot of mosques in New York he could have gone to, but he went to a fringe one with a history that is very well known and not this secret thing that was uncovered. And he's promoting it. Is it almost worse that he thinks it's fine to do this or that he'll just get elected anyways?
Yeah, I think you got it. Two things, really, it seems to me. One, it seems he's enormously confident. He is unworried about any blowback. He's unworried about even Democrats who are Jewish. He's unworried about Democrats who actually care about the protection of human life. He has just decided, I got this thing won, and I am going to virtue signal to the people on the far left that says, trust me, I may have had to say a few things during this campaign that bothered you, but I am with you. And then I think the second thing this says is, this is what he really believes. This is actually who he is. In the final days of campaigns, you often see this candidates revert to norm, right? They revert to actually who they are, especially when a candidate believes that they've got an insurmountable lead and the clock has been run. And so I suspect that Mr. Mamdani was actually, in being with that man, was conveying a message that is deeply consistent with who he is as a human being and how he'll govern as mayor if he's elected.
Yeah, I mean, Secretary Pompeo, I think it's like you said, it's alarming. And look, I said earlier, I've met with younger political leaders who often feel like they are just saying what has to be said to get elected. And that's not a good thing, by the way. I think that that's a bad thing. And when you have this guy's record and you look at what he has done, and then you have 10 years ago, him saying very similar things, but of course he's a young guy. I think this is also something we have to take into account is, you know, we talk about September 11th. We talk about the 1993, bombings of the World Trade Center. The kid was 2 years old in 1993. 2001, he's 10 years old, just recently moved to New York, likely. It's going to affect that current generation of young voters very differently than it has affected maybe every generation of voter until right now, which is most of us who grew up with that being a very real reality inside our country. We have gotten 25-ish years post September 11th, and it does make you start, it's the never forget scenario, but when you start looking at it, it becomes an issue when it comes to a whole new generation that has not brought up with, really, it's a different kind of terror, but not with that kind of terror at their doorstep. I feel like that's even indicated in some of the protests that happened over the weekend.
No doubt that's part of what happened in the protest. These folks have no context against which to put this. They haven't gone to schools that taught them about these things. They haven't bothered to become educated. They've just been in their little bubble, and so they don't appreciate what those of us who were of age when September 11th happened in 2001, who saw the horrors, who saw what actually took place. And so for them, this is just something that they've heard somebody tell about, or they may have heard a conspiracy theory about it, but it doesn't strike them the same way. You see this not only with Mamdani and his polling success, but you see this in some of the broader polling on anti-Semitism and terror as well. The next generation has not taken on board the lessons that we all took on board after 9/11, which said we're going to be serious about preventing terrorism in our country, and we're not going to tolerate folks like this knucklehead who Mamdani campaigned with this past weekend.
And shifting topics here a little bit, where we saw over the weekend that Israel and Hamas traded a little skirmish. It was initiated by Hamas that shot at IDF forces, and then Israel retaliated. But other than some shakiness there, it does seem that the ceasefire has broadly held. The president was swooping in to message on that and to make sure that it held. But we also see that the vice president, Jared Kushner, and Witkoff are all headed back to Israel tomorrow to try and work on phase two of this deal. I want to get your take both on what happened in the fragility of the ceasefire over the weekend, as well as the work ahead for the team that's headed back.
Yeah, you know, on the show a week ago, I guess it'd be a week ago tomorrow, I said that this would be a very difficult transition, that Hamas no more is seeking peace than a man in the moon, right? These are terrorists, they are resistance people, they are funded by Iran, even though weakened. There was not a change of heart, just a change of tactics when they decided to sign on to President Trump's deal. And so I am unsurprised by the fact that they have shot many of their own citizens, now are violating this ceasefire. And so I think Mr. Witkoff, Mr. Kushner's, and the vice president's trip to the Middle East suggests they can see this too. It is going to take continued real pressure on Iran, on Hamas, and frankly on our Gulf Arab allies as well, to say, all right, it is go time. We all committed to this. And I would say that especially with respect to Turkey and Qatar. The president needs to continue to remind them they signed up for this deal. They are essentially guarantors of the 20-point plan, and they need to do the hard work that's going to be required to actually deliver that 20-point plan. And when they do, it'll be a great thing, not only for Israel and its security, not only for America, but it'll be a good thing for the civilians living in Gaza as well.
Secretary Pompeo, we always appreciate your insight and guidance here on this broadcast. Thanks for calling in today and making some time to talk to us about these important topics. We do have a few lines open. I would love to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a phone call because it's related to what Secretary Pompeo was saying. Let's go to Eric, who's watching on Pluto. I assume that's on the Salem News Channel, where we're available live each and every day. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Go ahead, Eric.
So I just wanted to offer some insight as to why the youth of America are so opposed to American values and yet so supportive of Islam and Muslim values. And, you know, Pompeo had mentioned that 9/11, the lessons haven't landed and they don't absorb that lesson in the same way. It's not just that. It's that a lot of our youth believe that they have actually been lied to about 9/11.
Yeah.
They don't believe the story. And I don't want to debate that. But the point is that if you believe that, right or wrong, you must also believe that Muslims were, in a way, victimized.
Yeah, Eric, I think that you're right in the sense of the conspiratorial nature of society the last decade and 15 years. And look, I think we could say that that's true for all the time, but I'd say social media that is ramped up for younger people, people that were not necessarily that engaged in what was going on in politics, now all of a sudden have access to all of this and they're asking a lot of questions. And of course, they're watching a lot of people who are also uneducated or are educated to the point of creating chaos, spouting out conspiracy theories, specifically regarding September 11th and other major American events. You don't hear about those for as much as a lot of the other events in history, the tragedies in history where America has been under attack. You only hear about it in the most recent ones. You only hear about it when it comes to September 11th, October 7th. Things where people start spewing out their versions of the truth, which who knows where they're coming from, saying, you know, there's pre-warning. We all knew this. This all happened. This was, you know, all the things that is said. And you are right. It certainly creates a disinformation. I have people being taught, middle schoolers being taught the moon landing wasn't real. And of course, you may want to have that debate and have that conversation, whatever, I don't care. But it is proven, you know, it's fact, at least in American history, it's fact. You can debate that later on in your life. But that is a big problem. We got a lot of calls coming up in the next segment. Stay tuned. Back to Seculo. We are going to take some more phone calls. We got two lines still open, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. And look, we do this show each and every day. I want to make sure people who know us, who are just joining us right now, maybe you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel. We do this show each and every day, or Rumble, from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. And then, of course, you can watch us archived. Hundreds of thousands of you do each and every day, and we appreciate that. You can find us on all the platforms you get your podcasts on, whether that's video or audio, or you can find us on ACLJ.org. We're available everywhere. Of course, our incredible legal work. None of this gets done without you, so I just want to take a second before we take the calls to say thank you for those that support financially. And if you consider supporting financially, make sure you do that through ACLJ.org. I see sometimes people throw a few bucks through our super chats and those kind of things on YouTube, and while that's appreciated, no, you get a tax-deductible donation by just going to ACLJ.org, and it helps us out. You don't have to pay those kind of processing fees that go to Google and all of that. So we appreciate it. But if you're brand new, I don't ask you to give financially. I ask you to subscribe and just join us for this conversation each and every day. Like join us like I joined Will this weekend at the No
Kings rally.
No, I was at the No Scrubs rally. Different.
Oh, you don't want scrubs.
No. You were hanging out the side, though, of my best friend's ride.
Yeah.
You were trying to holler at me. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls.
Love it. Monday.
It's a Monday. It feels like Friday. I can tell because people are watching. Man, Terry's calling in Florida. Terry, go ahead. Bring us back home.
Good morning, fellows. I, too, have been seriously mystified who in the right mind would vote for Mondavi. And I came across an article this morning in a famous magazine I don't want to mention. Okay. About 700 languages.
Terry, I got no idea where we're going here, but let's just see where we're going. All right, go ahead.
Okay. There's 700 different languages spoken in New York City.
Okay.
And maybe these people are legal or not. Only half of them speak English. So are these the people who are voting for Mondavi?
No, Terry, I will say this, yes, it's a multicultural area. I lived there. I love it there. It's one of my favorite places in the world. Partially is because of that. It is the melting pot of the world. If you want to hear about New York City, that is where you go to hear every language being spoken at every street corner, and it's a beautiful thing. However, I don't think that's the case. I think the people that are voting in this election that really care about this election are New Yorkers, and I think a lot of them, especially young New York, see this as their only option. I know I've said that. You go, how is that possible? They have dealt with a Cuomo before as their governor. And as much as I actually like some of the messaging of
Sliwa,
Curtis Sliwa, he's not going to become the mayor of New York. As much as I like some of the messaging of Andrew Cuomo, and I actually really like Chris Cuomo's show. I think it's one of the few kind of balanced shows that you can watch on television. However, I don't think, and look, now they're saying that the polls are getting closer. Will read those polls that maybe there is something here. And maybe when you do have something like your, I don't know, campaigning when the nun had died in co-conspirator of a terrorist attack, maybe that older generation goes, hold on, what are we doing here? But he's got a bit of the Obama in him where he is a very good speaker, a very good orator, can dodge questions, but still have some sort of answer that feels eloquent. He's good. Let's not pretend, you know, he's not even like a Newsom. Where you're right. Like, you're good, but you're also, you come across like Harvey Dent. He doesn't come off like Harvey Dent. He comes out like a pretty cool guy.
Well, and that's one, he is young. He's been able to use social media and things of that nature to reach the younger voting demographic in New York. And I think that's where you're seeing the base. You're seeing SNL cast members that are campaigning for him and then doing skits, making fun of people not voting for him, which may have some issues there. I don't know. I'm not an expert on that. But that was a questionable choice of who they allowed to mock people that would not be voting for Mondami when she is actively campaigning for him in videos. But yeah, I think that is part of it. He gets that. He has a team that's young that gets how to use social media. And while Terry may have a point, that is a part of the New York demographic as well, is that there are people that are a melting pot. Not all of those would be voters in this election, but I really think it is the youth vote that they're able to get. There's a lot of young voters in New York, young professionals that go there and that maybe are a little disenchanted by someone like Andrew Cuomo or Curtis Sliwa.
And how could you not?
And you also see when they're trying to play catch up, when you see what Cuomo tried to do, and even Eric Adams before he dropped out, the way they were trying to have a social media strategy, like, look at my day, I'm really cool. It came across as very cringy and did not help them be more endeared to the people of the city.
Yeah, and again, I think that any of these candidates would likely be better for a lot of things, including the Jewish people of New York City. But of course, you're seeing a lot of the Jewish community come out, and you know, New York is always a different place. And the New York Jewish community, a lot of them are going to support Mamdani. It's just the way things happen. Let's go ahead and go to Thomas, who is in New York. Thomas is a retired NYPD sergeant, so I think he's got something he could say about this. Thomas, go ahead.
Okay, how you doing? I've been in the city for 55 years now. I mean, we moved here from Europe when I was like 3 years old. I worked for the NYPD for over 15 years.
Thank
basically,
you.
I know Curtis Sliwa. I appreciate him. I supported him. I gave him gifts. You know, but the thing is now, I can't take a chance. The only one stopping that can stop is Cuomo. That's it. There's no Republican to beat Mandania. Okay, let's just face it. Get with the facts. The facts are that. I mean, Lord willing, Cuomo comes ahead of everything because he's the only chance right now. And I'm no Cuomo fan. No. He screwed us with a lot of stuff, including back with the COVID. I had a property. I had to lose my property. They weren't even paying me rent. I'm no fan of Cuomo, but to save the city, the last 2 years, look, I can't believe I have 92 and 91-year-old parents. I retired 20 years ago. I retired. Basically, you know what? I can't believe the city. I'm trapped here. And that's a fact.
Yeah.
I mean, is Cuomo we're finished? And I know Curtis, he's not – I don't blame him. He wants to stick with it, but for the love of the city, he should have quit. And that's the truth, because he couldn't get it. No.
Well, and Thomas, to your point as well.
Yeah, we're only cutting you off because of time, because I really think you're making very valid points that most New Yorkers are feeling.
I mean, incredible retired NYPD sergeant and knows immigrant. That city. I mean, as we've said, Curtis Sliwa wants what's best for the city, but he ran for mayor in 2021 against Eric Adams in a head-to-head race and only got 27% of the vote in just two candidates. So
he's just a spoiler.
It's very difficult, especially in a three-way race, for him to do anything other than
split the vote. I understand he has the party behind him, and you know, Cuomo's out there. He lost the primary, so there's a whole nother discussion there. But Thomas, I appreciate your call. I wanted to let you talk as long as you could. Alan, let's quickly go. You only about 30 seconds, Alan, because we're running out of time. I'm so sorry. Go ahead though.
Okay, hi guys. Sorry, we watch you every day.
I really appreciate it.
I'm very disappointed that people are kind of saying that Sliwa doesn't even have a chance. We got forced out of my dad's company, was forced out of New York City because of high taxes. So you guys who want to think it's okay, oh, you know, we're young, we have our little businesses, we have our jobs, guess what? Your taxes are going to go through the roof. God bless you. But we are supporting SLEWA. Anybody who's still living in New York from the family, they are all supporting SLEWA. I think that might be more support than people know.
Okay, Ellen. Okay. I mean, look, I'm glad we were able to have both a call from our last caller and you to kind of counterbalance that. The polling would indicate otherwise, but you know what? Polls are polls. You never know where things are going to land. But Ellen, I appreciate your call. And it's not, again, that we have anything against. So I think he's done some amazing work for the city. I think he continues to do some great work for the city. I saw some great videos over the weekend. Commendable work. It's just, we're talking politics now and the numbers here. And the numbers are showing that Mondami is going to run away with it. But if it goes down to a two-person race, you never know. The question is, you think Cuomo's going to be better? That's up to you to decide. Before that, hey, packed show today. I appreciate it. Support the work of the ACLJ while you're at it. Go to aclj.org. And we'll get back to some more ACLJ talk coming up in the next few days. But we appreciate you chiming in here on a Monday. You can sign our petitions also at aclj.org. Talk to you later.